You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Spin Rate, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. My name is Drew Fairservice. This is Spin Rate, which is the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. I am joined every weekend as we take a look at what has happened and what is happening by my co-host. She covers the Toronto Blue Jays every day for The Athletic, Caitlin McGrath. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm great. You say I cover it every day. Funny story. I decided I'm going to take Saturday night off. I knew I was going to write anything, so I was going to take Saturday night off. I was actually going to not watch the game. I was going to check in, but maybe watch some Netflix, really relax. I needed this night off. Anyway, looked at my phone like a minute into the game, maybe not quite a minute, but pretty early into the game, saw a lot of tweets about George Springer, which we'll talk about in a minute, and decided, okay, I got to flip on the game. And then everything was fine, and I watched the whole game. So how's that for a night off?
A night off. You just can't get away. That's the problem. That's where they get you here when you cover.
They suckered me.
You're in the business of fun and games.
Yeah.
Right? They made a whole website out of the toy section. But so you can't turn away. What would you be watching? You still watching that F1 Drive to Survive or Drive to Succeed or
Drive to Survive, I believe. Yeah, I'm still watching that and making my way through that. It's funny because I tweeted about this weekend because there was a Grand Prix this weekend in Portugal. And so I'm like simultaneously like only in like mid 2019 in the reality show, but I'm living in the reality of I'm watching it live now. So it's kind of like I'm watching the show and I sort of know the future of some of these drivers and they're obviously going to move teams. But I'm enjoying both.
That reminds me of when I was watching that Tottenham thing. I can't remember the name of it. It was on Amazon Prime where they did like the behind the scenes with Tottenham Hotspur. They've done it with Manchester City and the Brazilian national team as well, the Brazilian men's national team. And it was interesting because I was watching it and it was during COVID, but you're watching it before, so you know it's coming. Right? You know that this is coming and what a wild turn that's going to take. The Blue Jays season, I was going to say that I started watching Mosquito Coast on the weekend. It's like an Apple TV Plus thing. Justin Theroux from The Leftovers and many other things. I didn't know anything about the source material, but it was pretty good so far. Two episodes in, it's pretty good. Apple TV stuff always looks really great. Like they obviously they don't spare any expense. And his uncle wrote the book.
I don't have Apple TV. It's one of the few streaming services I don't have, and I try to limit myself. So
I got a new phone. So it comes, you get a year free if you buy a new device. So I got a new phone last summer, fall. So I've got it for that. I don't know if I would re-up, but
I feel like that's how I somehow got somehow I got Amazon Prime. It was like some sort of deal where I know Amazon Prime, you get the streaming service with the quick delivery service. But I feel like there was also a promotion where I was getting the quick delivery service relatively cheaper for whatever it costs. And then I got the streaming service. And then I started watching some shows on that. And then I couldn't give it up. And now I still have it, even though I don't watch it that much anymore.
Patriot, the only show ever to worth watch. The first season of Patriot is on Amazon Prime. It is the most, like the most ideal middle-aged man show in the world. It's so good and absurd and ridiculous. And trying to explain it to anybody else who is like, there's a really small like circle, like the target audience or that audience is really small. But those those specific kinds of middle, and it's men, right? It's a middle, like I won't even pretend. It's a middle age, a show for a very specific kind of middle aged men. Oh, it just, it rings so true. Speaking of ringing true, the Toronto Blue Jays lineup was looking like its true self this weekend with the return of George Springer, with the Saturday night ruination for Caitlin McGrath as George Springer not only returned to lineup, but he hit not one, but two Springer dingers. One of which landed in another area code, as I understand it, 470 feet to left field, very much in the school that's out back there, very much in play. A great reintroduction, a great revelation. Oh, yes, this is what George Springer means and can do for the Toronto Blue Jays offense. The Toronto Blue Jays, who, as we speak here on Sunday evening, swept the Atlanta Braves, winning 3 of 3 from the team helmed by Alex Anthopoulos. Not without a little bit of drama, not without the usual bag of injuries and bullpen days that comes with being the Toronto Blue Jays. But there's no other place to start other than with George Springer. Looking pretty good at the top of the lineup, but of course there are some other, it's not all as great as two massive home runs for any variety of reasons. I don't know. What do you think about Springer's weekend against Atlanta?
Let me start more at the beginning and just say that the whole Springer saga with the Blue Jays has been such a roller coaster so far. There was the, maybe not close to the height of it, maybe when he was signed and there was so much excitement after that happened, that late January night, he gets introduced, he comes to spring training and there's George Springer there in the flesh wearing Blue Jays colors, and then the season approaches and he's injured. And at first it was just going to be a week. And then then another injury happens. So he's got the oblique and then there's the quad. And then instead of a week delay, it's more like 3.5 weeks delay. And then we thought it was going to happen in Tampa. And then it was not happening in Tampa. And then we thought it was going to happen the first game against Washington. And then it did not happen in the first game against Washington, and then the second game against Washington, he finally debuted. And let me just say that he debuted 0-for-4. It was a very anticlimactic debut for him. It took a long time to get here. And I feel like at that point, people were just like, oh, okay, yeah, George Springer, he's here. Fine. He went 0-for-4. What's he done for me lately kind of thing. And then we get to the weekend. And I think he hit his first single on Friday, and then of course Saturday was like the coming out party for George Springer. But of course with George Springer it is never simple, because previous to that two home runs, he had the grounder where he was running to first base and he kind of pulled up at first base and he looked like he grabbed the quad, and it was like, oh my gosh, is like Springer out already? It was like, you know, panic, and there's such a wild amount of emotion. Because then later in the game, he continues hitting, right? He didn't get pinch hit for it. Okay, then I think at the next at bat, he hit a home run. Mm-hmm. And then his fourth at bat, he hit the monster home run. What a wild day of emotions for George Springer, for Blue Jays fans, for me on my Saturday night off.
The drive to survive, indeed, George Springer fighting through. And then, of course, Sunday, he left the game. They say it's fine. They say he's probably not hurt, whatever. But he only did take 3 plate appearances. Joe Panik stepped in as the DH, which is a hilarious sentence to say out loud. This is the problem with George Springer, is that this is George Springer, right? He's a great player. The Blue Jays absolutely did the right thing. If he was willing to take their money, give it to him. How many times, Caitlin McGrath, I'll ask you, I assume you may or may not have checked or noticed this recently, how many times in his career has George Springer played 150 Major League Baseball games in a given season?
Either once or twice.
Once.
Once, yeah.
He's done it once.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, he looked great swinging Saturday night. He didn't look great doing anything else. I made a joke about him looking like Kirk Gibson, dragging his carcass around the bases, like looking ragged, looking real ragged. So misses the better part of a month. Well, almost the entire month, comes back, kind of slips out of the box, looking a little rough, dragging ass around the bases. There are some folks who are like, why are they letting him do this? And he obviously isn't good to go. And it's just, it's nice if he can DH, and he obviously he's still going to be a difference maker at the plate. But I think that we all need to remember, like you said, this wild ride of emotions, that a lot of this is the George Springer experience, like it or lump it.
Yeah. And I think part of it, I guess the big question is, if he's playing, he knows his body the best. And I think the Blue Jays have done their due diligence here in terms of making sure he is all right to play. And so the big question mark is, if he's playing, can he make it worse, right? Like, that is the one thing that you want to avoid. And I know there's some injuries where guys will play through them because there's not any concern that they're going to make it worse. Like, I can't think of an example here, but I know there's been some in the past where it's like, you can play through it because you're not going to make it any worse. A quad strain seems like something that you could make worse, or you could re-aggravate. I don't want to play like reporter doctor or Twitter doctor. I saw him playing this weekend, and I agree with you. Like, there was some times where he, especially that play running the ground ball at first base, and it did look like he was uncomfortable. But he's playing, and I guess the one thing that I come back to is, like, if they were gonna let him miss almost the first month, and it was really just a matter of a few more days, then yeah, on the one hand, why not give him a few more days? But on the other hand, like, he must be ready here, because they have shown a willingness to let him miss a bunch of time, and he's shown a willingness to sit on the sidelines. He sat out a month. We didn't see him rush back when the 10 days were up or whatnot. So everything he said that I've heard him say, he said the right thing. Like, I don't want to do anything stupid. I want to be careful. He's been saying all the right stuff. So I guess it's just kind of a confusing situation to read, because as you say, this might just be who he is. Maybe he's just a person that is very cautious, does like to take things slow.
One thing I want to say too is that I think it's easy to criticize a team when guys are hurt, when answers aren't definitive, when it feels like they're being evasive. Like the Mets, right? The Mets have a really bad reputation for that. We've seen it in the last couple of weeks where Hyunjin Ryu, we were told it was fine, then he goes on the injured list. We're told George Springer is fine. He obviously looks a little bit rough, and then comes out of the game the following Sunday. And then I guess post-game they said he's fine. But I think the important thing to remember is that a lot of these things are like wait and see, right? I think that the desire for the team to have all the answers and be able to say definitively, this is what he has suffered, this is what when he will be back, this is how long he'll be gone for, whatever. I don't think that's necessarily fair or realistic, especially when it comes to soft tissue injuries. But, you know, again, to your point, I agree that they seem to have a good partnership, and at least respect. Because if George Springer didn't want to play, he wouldn't have, you know, if he didn't feel like he wasn't ready, he wouldn't be back playing. But he did come back, and he did look great. I hope for his sake and for Blue Jays fans' sake and for our sake covering the team, because it makes them a lot interesting when they've got more players that are good rather than bad. I hope that he is able to stay, because, I mean, something we've talked about a little bit, I talked last week with Mike Petriello on the show about how he's just such an added dimension. You know, again, he's still kind of getting his feet wet. He's played four games, but he is a different kind of hitter than what a lot of the guys they've got in the lineup, and it's welcome. You know, he drew a one walk so far, which is one more than, you know, half the lineup, probably a little more than Luis Gurriel Jr. has drawn so far in April. But the fact that Blue Jays seemed to score a lot of runs this weekend wasn't because of George Springer, but it sure didn't hurt. Sure didn't hurt to have him, A, hitting two home runs, and B, a real true presence at the top of the lineup.
Yeah. He was almost just like a difference maker in the sense of, I'm going to use one of the words we love here, like the vibe of the lineup, you know? It just like, it gave the lineup almost like more swag. And again, a word I hardly ever use, but it just, it's like, it's
I can
just,
use the word cringe, you know?
It's like, I didn't know. People always just say that word and now I'm like, what's another synonym for swag? I can't think of it. But anyway, just, you know what the feeling is. Like when you have Springer at the top of your lineup and you have Teoscar Hernandez hitting well and he's hitting cleanup, and then you've got Bo Bichette hitting everything like he does and Vlad doing the same thing. That is a really good top of the lineup. And you understand how that maybe takes the load off some guys lower in the lineup. Lourdes Gurriel's come on lately, and Grichuk has been pretty good all month, but he's continuing it. And or I should say last month, and he's continuing it into this month. And it was actually Randall Grichuk who said after Saturday's game, I heard that it's less pressure when you have a guys like Teoscar Hernandez and George Springer in the lineup, because you know that it doesn't have to fall on one or two guys. Like there's four guys at the top of the lineup that can carry the offense, and then you've got Grichuk that can step up, and Lourdes that could step up, and all these other guys that could step up. So it makes their lineup a lot more dangerous, obviously.
I'm a little bit of the chicken and the egg mindset when it comes to that having a very good hitter hitting first is never a bad idea. Having a really good hitter who gets on base, who's followed by a really good hitter who's really aggressive and can really do a lot of damage, followed by like one of the five best hitters in the game at the moment, followed by whoever, that doesn't hurt. But I would say that I'm reluctant to attribute too much of that to Griffith, to George Springer's swag or confidence or any other adjective that we might want to use. I think it's more of the fact that like Lourdes Gurriel isn't a complete zero at the plate right now. That, you know, when Alejandro Kirk was in there and swinging the bat and hitting the ball hard and really like coming into his own, and then even Danny Jansen was able to contribute, broke his long 0-for streak here on Sunday with a couple knocks, you know, including a big run scoring single. Those things help the team score a lot more runs as opposed to just sitting around waiting for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to hit a home run, right? Same with Marcus Semien, right? Like it's both in my mind that you, I think it would be foolish of me to like downplay the fact that Springer comes back and everybody might get a bit of a, you know, A, you lengthen the lineup, B, there are fewer question marks, you're giving fewer at bats to panic, no at bats right now to Rowdy Tellez, but also the overall quality of the at bats throughout the lineup just help. And if it's because of George Springer, great. Otherwise, you know, I think the fact that Lourdes Gurriel is a really streaky hitter, so he was always going to, this was coming. He's not done, right? He wasn't going to make outs forever. So I just think that it is that bit of chicken and the egg, six of one, half dozen, whatever. I'm running out of aphorisms or whatever to use idioms here. But when the lineup is at its full power, if nothing else, when they've got everybody that they're supposed to have, when the lineup looks like the one that you would draw up, you know, a pencil in the winter when you were rosterbating the night away, you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be Springer, it's going to be Bo, it's going to be Vlad, it's going to be Teoscar. You know, again, Teoscar Hernandez, before he got COVID, was swinging at absolutely everything. And that didn't help, right? You know, he was no help to anyone at that point. And then he comes back, you know, found himself again a little bit. So nothing bad to say about Springer coming in the lineup, everybody else getting righter. Even Danny Jansen, who was on over 35, certainly helps as well. But we should change gears a little bit because we don't know what's going to happen with George Springer. The Blue Jays have said apparently that he's okay.
Correct.
Even though we came out of the game early on Sunday. We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We saw another whirlwind of transactions and roster maneuvers as more and more people get hurt. Alejandro Kirk, we mentioned him, I mentioned him just a minute ago, looking great at the plate, hit a ball down the line, sort of gave it a bit of a run, having a look. Whoop, little bit of left flexor discomfort. He eventually got reached in that plate appearance. I think he may have walked. And then at one point there was a timeout and they got him running up and down and it's delightful because he's like a wee little meatball hopping around and they're giving him little stretches and stuff. And then he eventually comes out of the game. And then Anthony Castro, the delightful, you know, kind of, was he a waiver wire claim? Is that,
yeah.
So Anthony Castro, a bit of free money, shows up pitching great, looking awesome, used in a variety of roles in a variety of leverage situations. He's on the DL with forearm thing. Tommy Malone, who kind of took some lumps and did some Tommy Malone-esque things over the weekend. But you know, of course, the Blue Jays still managed to win. He goes down. He's got a bit of a sore arm. Anthony Kay comes back in. They had to call up Riley Adams. Just like one thing after another. There are a lot of Blue Jays who are on the injured list right now, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there are 8 Blue Jays, I believe, on the injured list right now. You want to feel better, Blue Jays fans? You know how many injured players the Brewers have on their IL? 17.
Wow. Do they have a COVID thing? Are there COVID guys on there?
I don't think so. I think there might be one or two maybe mystery ILs, but I think...
Oh, yeah. Corbin Burnes was a mystery IL. Yeah. Corbin Burnes went to the injured list with no reason.
Yeah.
I don't think Christian Yelich has even played this year.
I don't think so. I think some of those guys are nearing. Like, I think Yelich is sort of close to a return. I've seen some tweets about that. But, yeah, 17. And they've got one of the best records in baseball. I know they got
the best record in the National League, yeah.
Yeah, they got killed by the Dodgers today. But
who among us?
they're playing really well, so I don't even know how they're playing that well, but yeah. So, but you know, no, but like the fact is the Blue Jays have still had a lot of injuries themselves. They've had a lot of pitcher injuries. I think actually all their injuries right now are to the pitching staff.
Except for Kirk,
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of a wait and see. Like, it seems like you kind of alluded to this, is that every time the Blue Jays get someone back, it seems like then they lose someone. So we saw Springer and Teoscar Hernandez come back, like we talked about. Ross Stripling came off the IL Sunday, and made the start.
And he looked great. Shout out to Ross Stripling.
Sorry, yeah.
I interrupted you.
It's okay. Then they lost 2 relievers and Kirk. And we don't know the severity of those injuries quite yet. So no point speculating. There was some, Charlie sort of said that he saw Kirk walking around, and that was maybe a good sign. But obviously the injury was like severe enough that he had to go on the IL for 10 days. So kind of up in the air about what his timeline will be, what any other timelines will be. I mean, the one thing to watch this week, I guess, is the Blue Jays may finally have to have a 5-man rotation. They've, for the past 2 weeks, they've had either a 3-man rotation or a 2-man rotation when they lost Hyunjin Ryu. And they've had these off days, really well-scheduled off days, to the point where they could really actually get away with having 2 starters and using all these bullpen days. And well, yes, of course, it's a taxing to the bullpen. They can manage it because they've got these off days and they could throw Steven Matz and he throws 6-7 innings. Or, well, the last start he didn't, but then Robbie Ray's been really sharp too. So they've been able to get away with it. This week, not so much. They have 7 games in a row. Well, 10 games in a row, including this Atlanta series. So they're going to have five guys this week, hopefully, with Hanjin Ryu coming back on Thursday.
It is a little dicey, but they are sort of figuring it out in a way. Like they've done well to get Ross Stripling. Obviously, was his return was ideally timed. For the most part, the back of the bullpen, other than Julian Merriweather, is doing okay. You know, Baraki's been working a little bit more. You know, after having a bit of a slow schedule, but the bullpen just keeps pitching so effectively that it's for the most part that it's hard to begrudge, you know, any of them. Like it's really helped them out, because a few more bullpen blowups and this could be a very different situation. But the minor league season is getting underway. Of course, also, you know, other stuff we haven't even mentioned. TJ Zoik came back from the DL and was optioned to the minor leagues. Tanner Roark mm-hmm. was designated for assignment. Yeah. Nate Pearson was activated off the injured list and then sent to the minor leagues. So the minor league season hasn't quite started yet, but hopefully if you're a Blue Jays fan and you're listening to this, and you are, you have to think that Pearson, they'll hopefully give Pearson a couple tune-up starts and then he'll be able to come back. If need be, you know, if unless Manoah somehow looks lost at AAA, which I don't think is going to happen, there's an option for you. There's Anthony Kay, who has come up, and I thought looked pretty good the last time that he was able to get out there and pitch. They seemed, I don't know, for whatever reason, he hasn't been given the same number of opportunities I would have assumed him to have received. Maybe I'm more results driven than I should be, because when he pitched, there was a game in particular where the defense really let him down. I thought he looked pretty good. He didn't leave a lot of, you know, didn't make a lot of mistakes, didn't get hit hard, just had some really rough defense in behind him. So the roster is an ever evolving, ever changing, ever moving piece, but there are support. There is support, I think, on the way. Again, hopefully, hopefully Hanjin Ryu is just that minimum 10 days after his glute strain or whatever the hell happened to him. And again, it would be great. Again, I think that Nate Pearson is the big one. I don't know if he's been pitching or if he's at the alt site or minor leagues, whatever. Hopefully he's just throwing and getting some innings and will be able to make an impact sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think you said it. I think the plan for him, I mean, it was kind of curious the other day we asked about Pearson and Charlie said something along the lines of, well, he's competing for a spot in the rotation. Like he's competing with like Zoik and Kay to come up, and he's, because I think we were under the assumption that he was maybe going to AAA and that was just the continuation of his rehab. Like the next start would just be sort of a rehab start. But I think actually the Blue Jays are more viewing it as getting some innings under his belt, working out whatever sort of minor, adjustments or kinks that exist in his game that he has to work out a little bit from just not pitching very much and not really pitching in. Yes, he's played simulation games, and I think some of those simulation games have been against other teams, but it's not actual, real, meaningful games. So I think the Blue Jays would probably like to see him make, I don't know how many starts, if it's one or two or multiple, with the Bisons, and then he'll be called up and make an impact. I'm sure the Blue Jays want to guard against if he is struggling a little bit with his command, like we saw him struggle with his command last year, just let him work it out initially in AAA and call him up when he's the most ready. Because last year was like a different circumstance. There was no minor leagues. They didn't have the option, mm-hmm. and they obviously wanted Pearson to be pitching competitively because he has the arm to do that. And he was at a point in his development where he really needed that. So they had no choice. He had to be a major league pitcher. This year, they have a little bit of wiggle room to at least give him a little bit of time to pitch in less high-pressure scenario in AAA, work out anything that needs to be worked out. And then presumably when he's ready, he'll be called up to the Blue Jays and be able to make that immediate impact because he's not struggling, right? He's at that point, they'd call him up. He's sharp, presumably.
Presumably. But it'll be it'll be a boost to have a really, obviously, all the things that he's capable of doing are so key and would be such an added bonus to the Blue Jays. Very lefty, obviously lefty heavy, successfully lefty heavy. And I mean, that said, Robbie Ray was looking. I think Robbie Ray touched 98 in his start.
Yeah.
Was that Wednesday he started? Thursday? I can't even keep these days straight anymore. But whenever Robbie Ray pitched, he
Friday.
Pitched.
Friday.
That was Friday. He struck out a million and looked good. And so one thing I did want to talk about, it's on our list for today. I don't know if you have much to say about it. We've kind of talked about some of the minor league affiliates, you know, the minor league teams. They left Dunedin, they're headed out. The Blue Jays AAA team is, of course, still in Buffalo, where Alec Manoah and Riley Adams, were he not on the Blue Jays right now, would be stationed. I'm just reading off of a tweet from Shai Davidi. Double A, we've got, you'll see Austin Martin, Jordan Groshans are going to be there. Notably, they're both going to spend some time at shortstop. I know that I saw somebody else share that on Twitter. Simeon Woods Richardson, all the way up to Double A. Gabriel Moreno, the catcher, will be at Double A as well. Vancouver is High A now. RIP, the Lansing Lugnuts, never forget. But Adam Kloffenstein and CJ Van Eyck are going to be out there. Low A Dunedin will have the very interesting shortstop infielder, Aurelvis Martinez, Miguel Geraldo, Leo Jimenez, and a guy named Zach Britton, who's not the real Zach Britton, but maybe one day he'll be the new real Zach Britton. I don't think there's any real surprises. I'm excited to see that Simeon Woods Richardson has moved up to Double A. It feels like a pretty good good challenge, and maybe, you know, fast track to the big leagues. Maybe I'm getting a little out of pocket here, but I don't know. I know Stoughton wrote about it today, but Alec Manoah, Stoughton's a real big Alec Manoah backer, and he had some quotes from Keith Law of The Athletic on his podcast about a guy like Manoah who was drafted almost 2 years ago. This is from Law on his podcast, saying that, like, that's for a college pitcher like him, that's probably the amount of time, you know, unless something went to shit, that he would be in the big leagues anyway. There's a lot of reason to be excited about Alec Manoah, and if the Blue Jays have a need, it would be great to see him maybe come up and fill it, ?
Potentially. We've talked about this, and we talked about the idea of whether you would bring him up in a starting role, whether you would reward him no matter what and bring him up in a relief role, especially if the Blue Jays were at a point where they could really use a power arm in the back of their bullpen, although they don't look like they need that quite right now because they're all rolling. But, you know, at a point later in the season, maybe that's an opportunity to call him up. We'll have to wait and see. It's a pretty aggressive. Well, maybe it's not aggressive. I don't know. Like, you're kind of, if we put him at AAA, it feels aggressive because the last time he was pitching in actual sort of competitive professional baseball was Vancouver, right? When it was short season.
When it was exactly.
So and that was 2019. And then there was no minor leagues last year. So he was just at the alternate site. And then immediately he goes up to AAA. So it feels like, wow, this guy really shot up the system. But I guess you would have to believe that he was an arm with the potential to have had a 2020 season in a normal alternate universe where there's no pandemic, where he really shot up the system, potentially. Yeah, got up to like either would have got up to Double A last year, and then it would be the natural progression for him to start at Triple A this year.
Exactly. I mean, I think about a guy like Marcus Stroman, for example, again, a college pitcher, really polished, like, is what he's going to be for the most part. He pitched in Vancouver. I don't exactly remember Stroman's trajectory, but I can't imagine, it was too much different than, you know, what you would have seen from Manoah, which would have been, you know, Vancouver in the draft year, and then Dunedin, which was High A, and then to Double A. You know, if you can make that jump over the full season A ball, and then because again, he's a college pitcher who is pitching against the best. He's not just some kid off the farm sort of thing who's like, this guy can throw that ball over their hills, and then we're gonna see if we can teach him how to pitch. Like, he's pitched in big games against real hitters, against, you know, as close to a professional league or professional competition as you're gonna find. So to rush him, no, I don't think it's a rush. I think, especially if you watch him in spring training, they saw him at the alternate site. They know what he can do, right? They know he's got four pitches. They know that what his command is like right now. I think if anything, it's just kind of testing out the nerve, seeing how he feels. But like, again, this is, it's a different time, right? I think like these guys have been professional athletes since they were 13 years old, effectively, you know, playing travel ball, being in and around, showing off, doing this showcase, that showcase. Like these guys have a pretty slow pulse, I think, by the time they get, even just to get to this part, I'd be surprised if somebody was like, oh my God, and, you know, there's the, what they call the third deck syndrome. Like you're one day you're going to wake up and then you're going to, that day you're going to be pitching at Yankee fucking stadium. And that's going to, that's not, there's nothing to prepare you for that. But all other aspects of it, I think that, that it's exciting. And hopefully, again, I'm call me crazy. Again, they're trying to win. And if, when they're considering how many innings they've given to the Tommy Malones and how many times they've run, you know, poor Trent Thornton out there and in situations and just, you know, God, TJ Zoik, like they don't have such starting pitching that they can afford to like be choosy with guys like Manoah and Pearson. You know, maybe they make the decision for them, right? Maybe Nate Pearson is destined for the bullpen. But again, you're going to give him every opportunity to prove that he can start. And same with Manoah. I think it would be a little bit foolhardy to try to ease them into the big leagues in the bullpen. Just go and get it. What else is, what's next? What else do we have here, Caitlin? Oh my gosh, I've lost my run sheet. There's one more thing we were going to talk about.
Well, should we, before we talk about that, should we look ahead to this week in Oakland?
Yes, Oakland. The Blue Jays are headed out west of all places. I saw that Jonathan Davis is going to accompany the ball club as on the taxi squad and AJ Cole as well. Does that sound right?
Yeah, remember AJ Cole?
I do remember AJ Cole. How could I forget?
I think his date of having to be, I don't know, added to the roster, his opt-out date is coming up. I think it's mid-May.
One thing I should do before we do this is do all the housekeeping-ish things because we haven't done that yet, which is to say that I want you to go to theathletic.com/spinrate and subscribe to The Athletic so you can read Caitlin's story tomorrow about subject question mark. But by the time you read this, you hear this, it'll be live. And you wrote about George Springer, didn't you?
He is one of the many things I touched on.
One of the many things, go read Caitlin's story. You want to read and listen to Keith Law, you can do that. You want to listen to or read Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark. Everybody, you go to theathletic.com/spinrate and you subscribe. And you get a sweet deal. And then they know that you're listening to us, which keeps us in podcast dollars. And if you want to keep us in podcast dollars, you want to subscribe to Spinrate, which would be great. You could do it at the podcast server of your choice. If it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Overcast or Stitcher, whatever it may be, go hook us up with the subscribe, hit us with the like, hit us with a comment if you feel the need, if you feel compelled to give us that 5-star in the review, be like, this show's good. I like the Blue Jays too. Hooray. So you can do that. Another thing I want you to do, if you're listening to this, if you live in a hotspot, postal code in Canada, in Toronto, maybe you live in Mississauga, maybe you live in Brampton, any of those places. By the time you hear this, you can book, if you live in a hotspot postal code, you can book a COVID-19 vaccine anywhere. So go do it if you're eligible. Don't be filling up the spots if you're not eligible. But if you are, if you post, go on any government website you can find. Look it up. Make sure that your postal code is eligible. If you're 18 and over, you can get the vaccine this week. There are tons of appointments. So go. And do me a favor when you go there. Don't ask what flavor or brand or make it is. They're all approved by Health Canada. Just get the one they give you because a lot of talk about vaccine waste. And I heard today there were people that were turning down the Moderna vaccine because they are like, well, I want Pfizer. Don't fucking do that. Just get the one they give you. If you're worried about if you have concerns about it, about whether or not maybe AstraZeneca is not the right one for you because of some of the concerns about blood clots, talk to your doctor. You're not the doctor. Ask them. Let them know. But go get it if you can, if you're eligible. And if you're not eligible, if you don't live in a hotspot, soon, just be patient. It'll come. But if when you get the opportunity, I hope you do, go and get vaccinated. And then when you get the chance, get your second dose. I read a thing about how people aren't getting their second dose. Get two. Please. I'm asking you. For you. For me. All I want to do is go to a ball game. Maybe I want to play, sit down at a poker table. Maybe I want to go play basketball in the basketball league. Let's do it. together and alone. They're going to Oakland. They're not going to Anaheim after that, are they? Oh, my gosh.
No, they're going to Houston.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. No wonder George Springer wants to stay in the lineup. He wants to go to Houston.
And hitting that joke stadium that inflated his numbers for 7 years. who wouldn't want that? That's a tough trip. Those are two good ball clubs. Houston, of course, Oakland, of course, started out the season a little rough, but then has subsequently went on like a bananas winning streak. Lost a series to the Orioles, which is a damning indictment if ever I saw one. But obviously, like a really good team, a ton of talent. Future Blue Jay Matt Chapman. doing the thing. Matt Olson, the first baseman that I quite enjoy his work. Reyes and Ramon Laureano, easy to like the A's. A lot of fun there.
Yeah, but it's going to be a real test for me with these 9 p.m. starts? Or
10 p.m. starts, usually, aren't they?
Might be 9:40 here. Gosh.
I haven't looked closely. I know they've had fans in games in Anaheim, so I assume that they're going to have fans at the games in Oakland as well then.
I think there's been fans in Oakland, a small amount, yeah.
I guess there isn't anywhere there haven't been fans. Do you know why there are so many fans in the stands in a lot of those places? Because a lot of people have been vaccinated. So if you get the chance, go. And Houston, of course, is like no joke, no matter what, even though they've not quite the juggernaut they were. They've lost, of course, George Springer. He plays with the Blue Jays now. But definitely still a formidable challenge. They keep just growing pitchers out of spores, guys that just show up and throw 95 and have a crazy slider. And then Lance McCullers. But anyway.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? I know there's one more thing we need to talk about before we go on to this.
No, I think we touched on it because the only thoughts I had on the Oakland series was about the rotation and how they're going to have four lefties in a row.
That's a lot.
Yeah. They don't have any other option. They don't have any right-handed starters.
Nate Pearson, please throw strikes and come and save the day and bring your enormous friend with you. And then that's a pretty, if there's a lot of ifs, but like if you've got, you know, Pearson throwing 100 and then Manoah throwing 95 with four pitches. And then you've got Robbie Ray throwing 95, 96. And then you got Steven Matz and Hyunjin Ryu. That's pretty good. If. I want to send a special shout out to Steven Matz. Because a couple weeks ago, I talked to Eno Saris of The Athletic. And he was a little bit like, he's still the same guy. I mean, he had a bit of a rough start. But I want to send a shout-out to Steven Matz because he's pitched well, but the number one reason I want to send a shout-out to Steven Matz is if you watch the Blue Jays games like I do, you see that 50-50 draw commercial that they run all the time, right? Yeah. And bigger than Lake Ontario, which is a great line. Jonathan Davis is out there just selling it, selling the lines hard. The opposite of selling the lines is what Steven Matz is doing, which is barely able to mask his contempt for being asked to do it, and I love it. I don't even remember what his line is. Like, I don't know if they maybe got him to say how big or bigger than the big nickel. I don't know. Whatever it is that he said, he is so uncomfortable. Both he and Nate Pearson have the leg shake going on camera. If you watch closely, you can see them shaking their leg because they're just like, this sucks. But at least Nate Pearson has like plastered a fake smile on his face. Steven Matz is so supremely irritated to be doing it. And I love it. I love it because he's not even like, no, this is where I am. This is where I'm coming from right
he's
now.
He's like your spirit animal pitcher.
I just enjoy, a little bit of truth. I enjoy Jonathan Davis going hard, selling it, loving every second. This is what big leaguers do. Big leaguers got to do this kind of goofy shit for the owner that's also the telecom. Nate Pearson, he's in there. He's doing his best. Might be a little bit nervous. That leg going. Steven Matz, maybe not nervous, just hates it. Just absolutely despises the fact that he's been asked to do it. The leg shake is a big giveaway, and the dead, like, he just, hates it. And it's great, and I love it. Shout out to Steven Matz. Yeah, and it's a good line. I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
Alejandro Kirk sells his line, too. His teeny little Spanish line is great.
Rowdy sells it quite well too.
I felt a little bad too. Rowdy's got like two shots. He's got a big role in that spot, and now here he is, not in the big leagues right now.
A couple of them aren't. Nate Pearson's not in the big leagues.
Well, that's different. Nate Pearson. Nate Pearson is his own special unicorn with so many things working for and against him. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We should talk about the Roberto Alomar thing now. There's no good way to like start transition into that conversation. If you haven't heard yet, Roberto Alomar has been placed on Major League Baseball's restricted list, which means he has been, was relieved of his role with the league. The Blue Jays have severed ties from him. In addition to they said they have promised to remove him from the level of excellence, which is a huge statement without being a huge statement. Like, well, I can't think of a bigger thing that they could do than that. And it's been a, it's a bit of a it shouldn't be as contentious an issue as it is. He's been accused, evidently, quite credibly, of sexual impropriety. I'm not sure the extent of it, but in a workplace professional setting, so the incident I believe was dated back to 2014. And Alomar issued like a really shitty statement that being like, oh, cancel culture and everybody's different now. The Blue Jays did, I think, the right thing for a number of reasons. So, well, I think they did the right thing. What do you think? I know, Caitlin, you and I talked about this a little bit off the air. Your connection to Robbie Alomar is different. You are much younger. You do not have fond memories of 1992 because I assume you to have been not even alive. Or if you were alive, you were very barely alive.
Yes, I was a baby, I guess. I was two.
A very young human being who was not quite cognizant of Roberto Alomar's spectacular defense at second base or his clutch home run off of Dennis Eckersley. So your feelings on this are a little bit different, I think. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Why don't you tell us what you think?
I would just agree what you said in that it was the right and only thing for the Blue Jays to do. And I'm glad that they took such swift action. I'm glad that they basically immediately, probably in conjunction with MLB, made this decision. I think that taking him off the level of excellence and bringing down his Hall of Fame banner, you're right. It is a huge gesture, even though maybe it feels like you're just taking decor off of a stadium, but it's a huge statement. And I will just add that MLB generally does not have a reputation of making snap judgments with stuff like this. Look at the Mickey Callaway situation, where I believe that is still being investigated after months at this point. So we can see that MLB does not make these snap judgments with allegations like this. And so the fact that the allegations were investigated by an external third party firm and the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and also the Blue Jays reviewed the evidence and the material and came to this conclusion and swiftly took action, that should say enough about the severity of the accusations.
I agree, because they have nothing to gain by doing it other than doing the right thing, right? There's no great PR that comes with having someone who is, has been credibly accused of these things to the point that the team, they left no doubt, right? They know what they, what they've, what the investigation revealed. The league knows. And again, this is not a league that's going bending over backwards to respond to something that was not wild. It wasn't like it was, there were, this thing was splashed across the headlines and then the leagues,
right, exactly,
the knee jerk reflectively were like, oh shit, get him off the level of excellence, do whatever to the woke mob is after us, whatever it might, right, be. Like this was conducted quietly. The, mm-hmm, person who made these allegations made them because it's the right thing to do, because it's incredibly difficult to bring these kinds of allegations against someone who is A, in the workplace, B, you know, has this incredibly high profile. Whoever, this woman, I don't know who she is. She had nothing to gain by doing this, right? It's an incredibly challenging thing to do. Nobody does it because they want attention. They don't. It's not spite or jealousy. They were wronged. This person was wronged in the workplace. This person was wronged on a personal level. This person was put in incredibly uncomfortable and inappropriate positions. So they took action, and they should be applauded for the bravery that is required, which is so stupid because it's so stupid to say that they should be applauded for bravery for saying, hey, this shitty stuff happened to me, which shouldn't take bravery to do, but it does. And again, the league didn't have, if they could have kept it quiet or avoided a potential ugly situation where they're like, oh yeah, this guy that's in the fucking Hall of Fame, we're going to have to, you know, he's fired and can't be associated with the game anymore on the restricted list in as many ways, you know, they did it. And the same with the team. Again, the Blue Jays nobody has a great track record with anything in this kind of realm, in the game of baseball, which its toxic culture has been discussed over and over and over. And it's not news, but it's not changing fast enough. But so for the team to make this swift and decisive action is, I think, really important. The other thing I think is that it can be challenging for people who grew up and have emotional investment in Roberto Alomar, the player, Roberto Alomar, the idea, the guy that wore number 12 for the Blue Jays. Those things still happened, right? I don't, you know, it's challenging to be able to separate the, as they say, like the art from the artist. You can remember the things, the way that you felt in that moment. You can remember those home runs, but that doesn't mean that you need to go out of your way to, it shouldn't be challenging to accept that this person who hit those home runs, this person who made those plays at second base, is a flawed and potentially I don't know, criminal. Like they did stuff that they broke the law. They broke the trust of people around them. They exploited their situation. Those two things can, hopefully they can coexist in our heads, and hopefully we can say, if you can't look at those moments in Blue Jays history the same way, that's understandable. If you can have that separation and recognize that, like, that he doesn't, because he did that, it doesn't mean that he gets a free pass through life. It doesn't mean that he gets to get away with doing the things of which he has been credibly accused. You know, even though I like him as a baseball player, so that can be challenging, but I hope that if you are a fan of the Blue Jays and a fan of the Blue Jays of that 90, of that era, you're able to accept and understand that this is the right thing to do, given the situation that one person is responsible for, and that's Roberto Alomar.
Yeah, I think you said it well. And I think if you're a fan of the Blue Jays, then you should be a fan of them making this decision because it was the right decision. And it was the only decision to make.
The only decision to make for us is to end the show on that incredibly down note. But 2021 Blue Jays play on. The 2021 Blue Jays can only go up from here. Winners of 3 games in a row. Over 500. And they have so many guys hurt that they can only get healthier. And there's still Nate Pearson and Alek Manoah and a real third baseman all to look forward to here in 2021. I for one, couldn't be more excited. Caitlin, anything else people can keep their eye on coming from you on The Athletic this week?
I do have a bit of a plan this week.
Oh, wow.
like you said, I will have my regular Monday, sometimes Tuesday, depending on when the Jays start their week, column out on Monday this time. And then I will probably be looking to do a sort of minor league preview, some storylines to watch for the minor league season. Maybe we even touched on some in this podcast. And I have another fun story coming out this week that I'm really excited to write and for everyone to see, and I'm not even going to tell you a little bit about what it's about because I want it to be a huge tease, but I promise you it's fun.
That's exciting. I'm excited. That was an effective teaser.
You were so excited, you turned off your mic.
I turned off my mic. There was noise in my house. So I didn't want that to slow your self-promoting momentum that I put you on the spot to self-promote. That's awesome. I look forward to that. We'll be back in the middle of the week with another edition of Spin Right. But until that time, her name is Caitlin McGrath. My name is Drew Fairservice. We will talk to you soon on Spin Right.